The Occoquan Radio Podcast is a private production and is not affiliated with the town of Occoquan. Opinions expressed on the podcast are solely those of its host and guests. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Occoquan Radio Podcast, where we bring you irregular, unscheduled updates on things Occoquan and beyond. On this episode, we'll talk about the recent Fall Arts and Crafts Show, the OCQ 2021 River Paddle Challenge, some highly anticipated road work, some potential changes to the town charter, discuss another entry in our Rumor Mill Shredder segment, and cover information on some upcoming events. I hope you enjoy this episode of the Occoquan Radio Podcast. The Occoquan Fall Arts and Crafts Show, the last weekend in September, was a huge success. Blessed with absolutely beautiful weather, visitors flocked to the show. Of course, I always want to be straight with everyone, so as is inevitable with large events, we did have a few oddities and glitches. There was the person who stole a car at a nearby shopping center and drove the car to Occoquan to turn himself in to town police, and a few vendors found themselves disrupted by a neighbor sometimes on Saturday. And we did have a return bus backup Saturday evening caused by traffic on the Route 123 bridge. But all in all, the vendors and patrons alike overwhelmingly had a wonderful time, and it turned out to be one of our best shows in recent memory. Occoquan's Fall and Spring Arts and Crafts shows are the main regular source of funding for town capital projects, and thus a key part of the town's revenue stream. Although they've been held for more than 50 years, the shows had to be canceled last year due to the COVID-19 pandemic. The return of the show after this hiatus probably, of course, contributed in part to the enthusiasm of vendors and visitors. Last weekend's show had 212 vendors, including juried artisans, commercial and nonprofit vendors, and food vendors. In addition, the show featured a well-attended beer garden both days in Rivermill Park with a live band providing entertainment. For those who have not visited the show in the past, Occoquan closes down several streets in the historic district as part of the event, and visitors park at local commuter lodge from which they can walk or catch a shuttle. While a shuttle ride costs $5 round trip, the show itself is free, and in the fall is a particularly good place to do some early holiday shopping, something of which I always try to take advantage. The town measures the show's success a number of ways, primarily by the satisfaction of the vendors and visitors. A good indication early of financial results, however, can be drawn from bus receipts. In recent years, the cost of operating the shuttle service has escalated dramatically. If shuttle bus receipts without a price increase cover the cost of the shuttles, that is typically a sign that a sufficient number of visitors have attended for vendors to do well. It was thus very pleasing for that benchmark to be reached during the day on Sunday. A big thank you is owed to all the staff who worked on the show, especially Julie Little, Kirsten Jovanovich, Bucky Brill, Adam Lynn, and all the town's other police and other staff who participated. And a particular thank you to our amazingly diligent and committed volunteers, without whom the show would not have been possible. There are a lot of them, and hopefully we'll be able to give them a shout-out, at least a few of them, in the future. If you were able to attend the show either as a vendor or a patron, thank you for coming out. And if you were not able to make it, we hope we'll see you in the future. Our spring show will feature a river component that sets it a bit apart from our fall show. More on that in coming months. Saturday, October 2nd, was the date of the inaugural OCQ River Paddle Challenge, which was the first ever, as far as we know, stand-up paddleboard and kayak race on the Occoquan River, starting from the town of Occoquan. Racers competed in a variety of categories and distances. This was a successful test of concept for a much larger paddle race we are planning for our Spring River Fest event. Thank you to everyone who participated and who came out to cheer on the racers. Thanks as well to Coast Guard Auxiliary Flotilla 054-25-06 Occoquan Fairfax, the Prince William County Marine Police, and Occoquan Police for providing on-water safety support. Thank you also to Occoquan's own Patriot Scuba, who provided prizes for some of the winners. Over the past few months, a number of residents have expressed concern about the condition of Tanyard Hill Road. As mentioned in one of my e-newsletters, we're pleased to report that VDOT is planning to repave the road this month. While some of you have expressed a desire for a sidewalk along the road, I'm sorry to say that's not really in the cards anytime soon. Sidewalks are a very expensive proposition generally, and as far as we know, they are not in any VDOT or county near-term plan for Tanyard Hill Road. We also have some pedestrian intersection improvements scheduled for the intersections at Mill and Washington Streets and Mill and Ellicott Streets. Though fully funded and originally expected to be done in November, we've asked for and received a delay in that work until the beginning of 2022, so as to avoid disrupting parking and traffic in the town's business district during the busy holiday shopping season. As reported earlier in both the town newsletter and in my e-newsletter, at its October 5th meeting, the town council held a public hearing to solicit feedback on potential changes to the town charter. Charter amendments can only be made by the Virginia General Assembly, so what the town council is actually doing is deciding on what changes to request of our elected state representatives. The town charter was last updated nearly 30 years ago, in 1993. Among the potential changes are updates to the town's boundary description, the elimination of provisions that unnecessarily duplicate the state code, the deletion of provisions that are unconstitutional, and changes to the election dates and terms of the mayor and town council. Some of the potential changes are discretionary, while others, like the change in election dates, are required by recent actions of the General Assembly. The wisdom of updating the town boundary description becomes evident when one reads the current language contained in Section 2 of the Charter, and I quote, "The following are hereby declared to be the bounds of the town, beginning at a prominent stone marked X on the south bank of the Occoquan River, 150 feet above the northwest corner of the old cotton factory building, and running thence in a direct line through Janney's land, in a southeast direction to a forked white oak and stone marked X on Janney's land, and on the north side of a small branch running thence in a direct line southeasterly to the corner of Janney and Selectman, on the west side of the Deep Hole Road, thence running with Janney and Selectman's lines to Occoquan River, and thence with Occoquan River to place of beginning. The corporation shall embrace all of Occoquan River opposite to the bounds above named." This description is an interesting piece of history, but it is of limited use today and of course does not include the boundary adjustment made some years ago to place the entirety of River Mill Park within the boundaries of the town. Previously, that area was split between the town and the county, which would have significantly complicated the relevant permitting and other processes necessary to construct the park. In terms of provisions that duplicate the state code, there are quite a few. They deal with things like the powers of elected officials, what is required for ordinances, resolutions, appropriations, and the like, and the scope of the town's regulatory authority. It is with regard to the last where some of the current charter's provisions are considered unconstitutional. For example, the current charter authorizes the town to, quote, "prohibit the coming into town of persons having no ostensible means of support," unquote, which is effectively an unconstitutional criminalization of vagrancy. The provisions regarding elections are in part what prompted the most recent review of the town charter. Last spring, the General Assembly passed a law requiring that starting in 2022, all local elections take place during the general election date in November, as opposed to, as has traditionally been the case for Occoquan, in May. This also means that town residents will have to go to Occoquan Elementary School to vote in town elections, rather than the town hall. All of us on the town council opposed this change, and so informed our elected state representatives, believing it best to conduct town elections in May and at town hall, away from the typically more crowded and partisan ballots that accompany elections in November. Nevertheless, the General Assembly applied this new law statewide. In response, the town council is requesting to convert the terms of office for mayor and town council from 2 years to 4-year terms, beginning with the 2022 elections. This is consistent with some other towns in Virginia and does enhance continuity. A significant motivation, however, is the desire to minimize the extent to which town elections compete with attention on more crowded and partisan ballots. To illustrate the idea, let's take a look at the election cycle in the Commonwealth of Virginia, which, unfortunately, many would say, has elections every single year. 2020 was a presidential election year. In such years, the ballot contains the race for president, the House of Representatives, and sometimes the U.S. Senate. It is typically the most partisan and highest turnout election of a 4-year cycle. This year, 2021, the ballot will include governor, lieutenant governor, attorney general, and House of Delegates. Next year, 2022, is typically the least crowded ballot, with some years only having the one race for House of Representatives and sometimes a U.S. Senate seat. 2023 will be the most crowded ballot, with races for State Senate, House of Delegates, Board of Supervisors, School Board, Sheriff, Commonwealth Attorney, and Soil and Water Conservation Board. Then 2024 starts the cycle over again with President, etc. This all, of course, assumes there are no special elections because of earlier departures from office. Next year, 2022, when town elections are scheduled to take place, in relative terms, it is typically the least crowded and least partisan of ballots, with only a U.S. House of Representatives race otherwise on the ballot. However, if the town retains two-year terms, the town election following 2022 will be at the same time as a presidential U.S. House of Representatives and U.S. Senate race. If the town were to avoid this by shifting its elections to odd years, it would be competing with even more crowded ballots. For example, governor, lieutenant governor, attorney general, House of Delegates, or Board of Supervisors, school board, state senate, House of Delegates, etc., etc., etc. If terms are converted to a four-year election cycle starting with the 2022 elections, however, then town elections would consistently occur on what is typically the least crowded and least partisan year of the election cycle in Virginia, often only sharing a ballot with a U.S. House of Representatives race. That is the rationale for the town council considering a term change. The hope is that it helps keep town elections local and does not force them to compete with larger countywide, statewide, and national elections. For more details on these potential changes to the town charter, go to the town website at www.occoquanva.gov. That's the intro sound for our next segment, the Rumor Mill Shredder. Throughout most of its history, Occoquan was known as a mill town, but today the only mill in operation is the Rumor Mill. In this regular segment, we debunk a rumor, myth, urban legend, or other misinformation related to the town. And in this episode, given that we just talked about the town charter, we're going to tackle some misconceptions about the town's founding and associated dates. If you look at the town's official seal, not the authentic Occoquan seal that we use for tourism marketing, but rather the official government seal, which contains an image of what is supposed to be a Dogue Indian, you will see at the bottom the date 1734. In terms of the founding of the town, this might be a bit of a fudge. It reflects the fact that it was in that year that the Virginia legislature authorized the establishment of a public tobacco inspection warehouse on the north bank of the Occoquan River. This followed the Virginia Tobacco Inspection Act of 1730, which required that all tobacco exported from Virginia be inspected by public officials at a public inspection warehouse. In this manner, officials could prevent inferior tobacco from masquerading as something better and damaging the reputation and well-being of Virginia tobacco farmers. So why do I characterize this date on the town seal as a bit of a fudge? Well, because it was not until 1736 that a tobacco inspection warehouse was built on the south bank of the river, near where the town is today. After that, John Ballandine came to the falls of the Occoquan River, purchased the warehouses in 1755, and established an iron manufacturing operation. It was Ballandine, as we know, who built Rockledge in 1758. But the town of Occoquan itself was not formally established until 1804, when the Quaker Nathaniel Ellicott and two partners donated the more than 30 acres that are largely reflected in the town's original plat. The town was eventually incorporated and rechartered under Virginia law in 1874. Interestingly enough, the town's current charter actually dates from 1930 and was amended in 1942, 1970, 1972, and most recently in 1993. So there you have it. If you want to know when Occoquan was founded, you got a lot of dates from which to choose. For what it's worth, I most commonly use 1804, and it was in 2004 that the town celebrated its bicentennial. Once again, we'll close this episode with a quick preview of upcoming events. Our monthly trivia night in River Mill Park takes place this month on Friday, October 15th at 6:30 p.m., and will feature an 80s theme. We're hoping some folks will wear their 80s attire. I know I have mine. The next day, Saturday, October 16th, the Friends of the Occoquan will be holding their fall cleanup from 9 a.m. to noon, and the town hall in Occoquan will again be one of the starting points. On Friday, October 22nd, we'll be hosting our first karaoke night in River Mill Park, which I understand I'm obliged to kick off with a rendition of a song picked by the audience from among four choices. Throughout this month, you will see both residents and business owners decorating for Halloween, some with life-sized semi-human creations set up outside and suitable for selfie-taking. The town will officially get into the spirit on Saturday the 23rd when our movie night in Rivermill Park features the film Hocus Pocus. And as we did last year, we'll close out the month on October 29th and 30th with our Spirits and Spirits event, featuring a costume parade and contest, a haunted maze with a bar and DJ, and a late shopping night. For more information on all these events, please go to www.occoquanva.gov/events for more information. I also want to give a shout out to a local organization, our partners in the Nova Arts and Cultural District, the Workhouse Arts Center, just across the river in Fairfax County. Running through November 6th, they will be offering Workhouse Haunt the Collection, which immerses guests in a walkthrough experience where creepy characters deliver contactless scares in multiple scenes. Guests will travel in small groups for a frightening 30-minute experience that brings them next to the site's abandoned historic buildings and into the dark woods where they will encounter terrifying characters and sights that are not for the faint of heart. For more information and tickets, go to www.workhousearts.org. We'll put that and other links in our show notes. Finally, as I mentioned in our last episode, Occoquan Radio is also getting into the Halloween spirit with our 4 weeks of Halloween special broadcasts. We're trying our hand at reading some classic tales of terror from literature with our special guest host, Primus Phasma. Our first installment is up, and we hope you'll find it enjoyable listening. If you have any events or other activities in or around Occoquan you would like mentioned on the podcast, please let us know via our contact form at www.occoquanradio.com or by emailing us directly at host@occoquanradio.com, and we'll see if we can help get the word out. That brings us to the end of another episode. We hope you enjoyed it, and we look forward to being with you again soon. I'm your host, Ernie Porta. Thank you for listening to the Occoquan Radio Podcast.